Happy Monday, everybody. It's August 17th, 2020. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And I want to thank you so much for listening today. It's for a 9 a.m. show we're going to do right now. And it's going to be just an excellent one with my good friends over at AASA or from AASA. Okay, that's the School Superintendents Association. And there's a virtual conference coming up for them, one that we cover every year. Normally, obviously, it's in person. But this year, unfortunately, I don't believe any of it will be. It's the Urban Superintendents Academy Conference. It's going to be this coming Friday, next Friday, August. Well, actually, this coming Friday, August 21st. All right, and it helps to prepare educators for certification and success as district leaders in urban and increasingly diverse suburban settings. And I love that they're getting that in there and saying those words. It bolsters the effectiveness of district leadership, and everybody should be listening, not only those who are superintendents or in administration, but those who might be thinking about it, as well as those who are in education who are not thinking about becoming administrators but want to know what goes on, okay, and how decisions come. And one of the ways that superintendents learn how to do this are going to these AASA conferences, and this one being on urban education and urban leadership. I've got we'll bring up the one in just a second, Maria Ott, okay, from the USC or Sierra School of Education, and Sam King, who's got the best title yet, Director of Superintendent Searches. I love this for the Georgia State School Boards Association. We're going to have a wonderful conversation with both of them. They'll be presenters at the conference and be attending the whole thing, I hope, and it should be a really interesting show. We're going to archive at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio, that's one word, .org. That's our website for Education Talk Radio. All right, and you can go to past shows over there and see every show we've ever done since 2011. You can listen to whatever you want, plus you can scroll down on the site. We put a new schedule up there on Saturdays. We've got some interesting news about education over there as well. You might want to check that out, education-talkradio.org. Very important to us is the constant fight and struggle for equity and access to learning for all students. That's why we are also the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's right, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's an initialization is ACE-ED, and that's .org. ACE-ED.org is the website for the consortium, which, of course, is free to all pre-K-12 educators from superintendents down and over to classroom teachers. We want your voice heard in this constant battle for equity, et cetera, et cetera. ACE-ED.org. Join up with us. It's all free, and thanks to industry support, I might add, it's all free. And you'll be able to get our magazine, all right, which is wonderful. We're working on a new issue right now. It's an online journal called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. You'll love it if you go over there. It's online, ace-ed.org. Join with us, okay? We'd love to have you. And without further ado, me blabbing on a Monday morning, all right, let me bring on both Maria and Sam. Ladies first, hold on, Sam. Maria, how are you, Dr. Ott? It's Larry here.
I'm great, Larry. It's wonderful. Thank you for inviting me to be on your program again this
Always.
Morning. It's an honor and privilege. It's been a while since I've talked to you.
It has been a while, and of course you're always welcome here, so if you ever want to chit chat, you just give me a call and we'll get that together. And I got to thank you, because I said before, you're at the USC Rosier School of Education. It's 9 a.m. here on the East Coast. I assume you're on the West Coast, so I want to thank you for getting up so early. Thank you, Maria.
You're very welcome. Yes, it's 6 a.m. out here.
Yeah. Actually, it's 6:04, but who's counting? All right, no, I'm just kidding. I really do appreciate you being here with us. Okay, we'll talk about everything you're going to do with this through this whole show. Sam King, are you there?
Good morning. I am here, Larry. Glad to be here.
That's my pleasure to have you here, Sam. And Sam, do you like Sam or Samuel?
Which Sam is fine.
Like? Sam is fine. Sam is fine with me. Okay, and I love your title. In all the shows I've done, this is the first I've come across this particular title, Director of Superintendent Searches. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. And the Georgia State School Boards Association, huh? Something.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the Georgia School Boards Association, which is an entity that has responsibility for board governance training and superintendent searches, along with a host of other things that come into play as it relates to the 180 elected school boards across the state of Georgia, of course.
I think it's wonderful. And, you know, the superintendents are responsible to the school. Everybody knows this, which is the voice of the people, okay, when it comes in. It's so good, okay, for me to see that the school boards with whom superintendents interact all the time, okay, are so involved in the help for good superintendents throughout the great state of Georgia. And while I'm here, Sam, I want to ask you something. I asked Maria the same thing, but there's a little more news coming out of Georgia these days regarding the pandemic and the reopening of schools. I just want to touch on that before we get into the Urban Superintendents Conference. Sam, what's going on with the pandemic and the opening of schools? I think some districts are reassessing. What's happening in Georgia? Sam King,
you're
everybody.
Right. You're absolutely right. Many districts are continuing to keep a finger on the pulse of what's happening with the pandemic, because all of those items present variables that would come into play with their decision-making, and really are working diligently to treat it as a situation where they take a look at what's happening in their own locale and use that to make decisions, because students and staff safety, of course, would be first and foremost when you consider that. But we also want to see the education of the youngsters continue, but continue safely.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly right. By the way, education will continue. The teachers and the administrators are really stepping up. This will work. Okay, we just have to take consideration. And you used an interesting word. We want to take the pulse of, and that's the whole point of saving everybody from this pandemic. We want to make sure they have a pulse to take. So everybody, please take it easy. You know, to coin a cheap joke, at the expense of the pandemic, I might add over 150,000 people have passed away. So from this, this is not anything to be taken lightly, all right, and it's still going on. So thank you, Sam. I'll ask you, Maria, not that you can speak to this per se, but because you're a resident, California also got hit pretty hard with a new surge. What's going on that you know of, Maria Ott?
Well, most of our districts are opening. In fact, this is a big week for opening of school, and they're doing it virtually. So, fortunately, I think, you know, we had the time over the summer, and a lot of districts invested heavily in training teachers and really supporting them in terms of getting their skill sets for the virtual situation. It's not our desirable, but it is our safe reality out here in California, because we did have the surge, and our governor has made it clear that no one's going to open up until there's a, you know, the control over new cases. So that's what we're dealing with out here, and it's just the reality that we are facing. And so, you know, our largest districts are opening virtually, and you know, I think everyone is looking to the day when our students can come back to their classrooms. It's virtual is the current reality. It won't be our future reality. We know that students will be coming back to our schools.
I hope you're right on that last comment, okay? I've heard so many different views on this, and I do think, okay, and it's a terrible way, I don't mean to say anything nice to Mr. Pandemic, okay? But because it has been a horrible experience for everyone, okay? But hopefully, okay, we can view it, you know, when the good Lord gives you lemons, you make lemonade, okay? We can view it as an opportunity. Okay, to see where we have gone wrong or fallen short and make differences. That's one of the things I know you're probably going to talk about at the Academy. I hope we can take advantage of a bad situation. Maybe that's the best way to put it. And I wish both states and across the country good luck. Here in Maine, it's a little bit less. That's where I live, and we're a little bit off the beaten track, so to speak. So we've had it a little easier than most, and so far it seems to be working. Everybody I talk to here, they're going to try half the school Tuesday and Wednesday, and the other half of the school Monday and Friday, and one day everybody's at home. Okay, on Wednesday. That's what seems to be the way it's happening here. Well, and by the way, to segue into the superintendent's things for both of you, okay, every superintendent I've talked to has worked so hard to try and make something work. Okay, we are in a completely new situation, and I have to say this, and I mean this with the greatest respect, nobody knows what they're doing. Every day the news changes, and we're doing the best we can, and I'll tell you, education should be congratulated, okay? Of course, it could have done better, but all things considered, we did pretty damn well. Would you agree, Sam?
Absolutely, absolutely. I would agree. These are tough times. Unprecedented
yep.
times in public education, of course, and kudos to those leaders that are out there on the front line making those decisions. But, you know, we've talked about the key here is really, really transparent communication, input, and feedback from your
yep.
public and your stakeholders as you make these decisions. Those things are things that really help our leaders as they move forward.
Yeah, and they have to move forward, and they're doing that against every one of them. The Superintendent's Academy starts off, I think the whole thing is virtual, but it kicks off on Friday, August 21st. Am I right, Maria? It kicks off. That's the kickoff date, right?
Yes, it's a summit on Friday, and it brings together both the USC Rostier program with the
yep.
Howard program. So it's an opportunity to come together, and this year we're excited because we have some awesome speakers, and so looking forward to the event. I think Howard University actually does begin their program on Friday. The USC Rostier program begins in September.
Oh, I didn't know that. So there's a long separation between the two. I didn't realize that. Okay, so what happens? Go ahead. And both of you, I think. Sam, are you in charge of the Howard program? What's going on here?
Right, I serve as a lead superintendent educator for the Howard AASA program, and we actually typically start our cohort with a kickoff, which is in August, which is coming up here soon, as Maria mentioned.
Friday,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so we look forward to bringing in as many of those new cohort participants during that kickoff. This kickoff is an opportunity to really set the stage for the common threads as far as the theme throughout the year. And so we look forward to kicking it off this month and then beginning the actual rollout of the curriculum in September.
Okay, Maria, let me swing back to you. So what happens – well, may I stick with Sam for this part. What happens, Sam, this weekend starting August 21st? Then I want to swing to Maria and find out what the September Rosier part is. Okay, so Sam, you start. What starts this week? Again, Friday.
Right. This Friday we'll open with a state of the system and state of the program itself in terms of a focus on equity and race relations and implications for leadership. Of course, we'll have the leaders from AASA, Dan
sure.
Dominique and Mort Sherman, will kick us off, along with the folk from USC, as well as the folk from Howard University, Dean, from Howard as well, USC side, Pedro Nogueira, as well as Dean
wow.
Don Williams from Howard University. So all of these folk will come together and really talk about, you know, the real urgency behind skill sets for leaders in urban education. And so you have all of these thought leaders from across the nation that are going to be able to come together, and this audience will have an opportunity to engage virtually with them to begin to talk about, you know, setting the stage for the continuation of the program this year. So we look forward to that.
Yeah, and it always is a great program, by the way. And I do, as I said at the beginning, AASA.org, everybody. And if you're thinking about becoming a superintendent, or you are one, or you're up in administration, et cetera, please, okay, check this out, because this work is incredibly important. And Maria, just talk about when what happens with the Rossier side, the USC side. Okay, and that's a little bit later. Give everybody the date if you have it, and that sort of stuff. Maria Ott, everyone.
So on Friday, our new participants are also invited to attend virtually, as well as former participants. We're inviting our new cohort along with Howard. We're in our sixth cohort, if you can imagine. We have,
Wow.
It's exciting. It's really exciting.
Cool.
So ours will also be there, but in September we actually do a two-day retreat, and this year that'll be a virtual retreat. Usually it's on campus. So September 18th and 19th we will have a retreat for just the participants that are in the USC Rossier program. But we'll be there on Friday as well, and we're so excited. Always when we can get the two cohorts together, it's powerful.
Yep.
The work, no matter where someone is the same work, and I was so glad that you talked about the role that educators have in not only this pandemic, but we are always involved in creating solutions, and I think our Urban Superintendent Academy particularly prepares our leaders to be those individuals who can offer up the best solutions in their local setting. And so Friday is really an exciting opportunity for the two programs to both come together, to learn together, to share expertise.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm going to ask Sam this in a minute, but I'm going to start with you, Professor Ott. Okay, what I know the answer, but I want you to go into it in detail. Besides this being virtual, normally it's in person, but besides this being virtual, it's like the old Passover question Jewish people ask during that holiday. Why is this year different from all other years? What makes this one so different? And I think it is, and I bet you do too, Maria.
Well, we on multiple levels, but clearly we're living in this historic time. I always think about what the history books will say about us and how we handle this pandemic, and then how we have handled the issues of social justice and really addressing the issues of racism and bias that exists in our nation, and how using this as an opportunity with the expertise of the speakers on Friday to really help everyone become anti-racist leaders in our public education systems. I mean, our nation's future rests on the job that we do, and we have amazing leaders across this nation that are committed to doing the best for all students. And so the speakers on Friday are experts, and we just really are excited that people will be able to tap into their expertise and hear from the leadership of both Howard and USC, Rossier School of Ed.
Yeah, it is a totally different year. Sam, what do you see as the major changes or the major discussion points has changed from previous years? Sam.
Well, I echo Maria's comments. And, the pandemic, in my view, has really magnified and really exacerbated the already enormous challenges that are faced in public education. And, things that come into mind, the digital divide that we knew was always there. Now we see the variance in terms of the inequities that are out there and trying to deliver service to children. Leaders have to understand this. So the pandemic has magnified that. The racial disparities, poverty, access to quality health care that comes into play with the pandemic, social justice and social injustices, all of these things are things that leaders as superintendents and CEOs are going to have to be focused on and see the implications of that, not just be focused on it, but how will they position themselves to lead their staff in a way that they understand and address the needs of children. So it is a different year.
It is a different year, and that's one of the reasons, and I hope this continues. We've been screaming about this for a while. I think you probably heard me at the beginning. We have our American Consortium for Equity in Education, and that's over at ace-ed.org. And please, you two, my wonderful guests, and anybody else, sign up. we want your voice heard over there. And we've been trying to get the word out and fight. We've done a pretty good job for the last 2.5 years. And I'll tell you, we see this. We feel like we're in the right place at the right time. We're really bolstering this this equity thing. And it makes – we learned it on March 13th when half the kids or something didn't have access to learning, when all of a sudden they had to go home. And they were mostly kids of color or underrepresented groups, and in some cases rural kids, okay, who fit into those groups as well. So, I mean, it's really a sea change, and we've got to take care of that. Sam, I want to speak to you, and everybody's been hearing us. It's at USC and Howard. Obviously, Howard is a historically black university, wonderful place, by the way. All right. Are we getting enough people? And, Maria, I'm going to swing this over to you afterwards. But, Sam, in your opinion, and I have a feeling you were a superintendent, if I'm wrong, you'll correct me, but are we getting enough, A, people of color, and B, if I may, women of color, okay? So, you know, we want to get a more equitable situation out there. What's going on with that, Sam, in terms of racial and gender use of superintendents?
All right. That's a lot involved.
And use was a bad word. I couldn't think of the right word, but you know what I mean. How we do it.
All right, yeah. A lot involved in that question. Absolutely. This is I'm entering 37 years in public education myself, and I spent 10 years out of that, almost 37 years, 10 years as a superintendent as well. So I bring that lens with me in terms of the conversation. So I, of course, am a black male, a leader of color myself. So to answer your question, we are not getting enough traction on leaders of color or female leaders in the shoes, you know. And we want to do our part to help to offer those opportunities by preparing folk, you know, asking them to come to the table. Of course, you have to have a certain skill set as a proven leader already. As you prepare to do this work, however, this program allows us to sharpen the skills of leaders that feel as if they want to come to the table. Because when we describe the whole urban challenge, there are a lot of indicators that come into play with that, whether it's a inner city indicators, metropolitan indicators, size of a district, urban traits, which means that, you know, you have a level of poverty many times, a level of a certain percentage or proportion of families and children of color that you're going to be serving, the economic disadvantage that comes into play, but also great advantages in terms of children that can do great things in terms of accomplishing tasks. These are children that are gifted as well, but we have to, as leaders, be able to prepare those individuals to exercise their highest potential. So that's what we're about with that. No, we do not have enough, but we need to do everything possible to ensure that we begin to change that.
Yeah, of course, we got to get enough people of color to be educators to begin with. Okay, and that's another challenge right off the bat. All right, and I don't know why. By the way, I have to ask you, this always drives me nuts, all right? And I'll just ask this before I go to Maria. You know, we use the word urban, okay? And the word urban is kind of a euphemism for African-American. That's what it's become in this case, the urban superintendent's academy. We're talking about teaching, at least in my mind, this is what I'm asking, you know, African-American kids. Well, talk about that word urban, Sam, if you will, for just a second. Professor, I'm going to ask you this, too. It just seems to be a euphemism. Who are we really talking about when we say urban? Okay? Sam.
Well, typically, we're talking about children of color many times.
Yeah.
Many times we're talking about children of color because...
That's like a euphemism, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now, when you look at the studies and you look at the indicators... I mentioned a few terms earlier in reference to urban, whether it's metropolitan, whether it's inner city, whether it's, like I mentioned earlier, children of color. Much of this has also moved into the suburban areas as well.
Yeah.
In terms
or small,
of, as well
small
as
think of small towns,
the rural,
in
the rural environments as well. So you have those urban traits is what it's called many times, but it's those families of color and those children of color that are in greatest need for the most part of this service. And so it is a moving target.
Yeah. Can we change that word? The word's driving me crazy. I don't know. Maria, what do you think? Am I right here? It's like a euphemism that implies something urban. You know, what do you think, Maria? Am I off the charts here?
No, you're not off the charts. I think that, we've had these conversations between Howard and DRC Ross here, and that, urban has changed. For a very long time, people viewed it as being more the inner cities, the more impacted socioeconomic communities. But that's changed. The demographics of our nation have changed. And so, I'm a Latina myself. I was a superintendent as well. And I will tell you, in California, our Latinx population is, really very impacted. Many of them are English learners in some settings. Mm-hmm. But, we want our leaders to be prepared to really address the diverse populations they have and to ensure that none of the groups are left behind, that we're bringing everybody up to a performance level where they can not only participate in society, but that they can be lifelong learners and, be engaged and make a difference. And, to not have the color of a person's skin or the socioeconomic situation that they grow up in to be an impediment to their future. And that's asking a lot of our public educators. So
it sure is.
Urban is about really removing those barriers that have kept individuals back for so long and really getting those opportunities so that everyone has access to it. And I know when I, as like Sam, when I was superintendent, the fact that I was a Latina and serving in districts where the majority of the population were Latinx students, that mattered to them to have
matter.
That role model. And
it does
We need to have enough role models out there so that our teachers, those who are in the classroom closest to the kids, can see that if they're oriented toward becoming a leader and we give them the opportunities to have those experiences so that they can move into leadership roles. We have to do it because the needle, as you said, has not moved. It's remained at about 6%. And I don't think, Sam, it's gone anywhere since the last time I looked, because AASA is the organization that usually tracks that. And it's frustrating because we've got to make that needle move.
Yeah, we do have to make that needle move. It's about time to make that needle move, and we got to make sure, and this is just all the pipeline, okay, is to make sure people are going into education. All people are going into education, okay? And again, that word urban, we're not talking about cities anymore, okay? We are, but we're talking about everywhere else in America, okay? Small towns, anywhere where there are extremely diverse and in many cases greater degrees of socioeconomic difference. That's really what urban is about, okay? It's not just going into the city of Detroit, okay? Or I grew up in the city of Philadelphia. This is everywhere, and these are things we have to do. Maria, what do you want your cohort, the group that's going to attend, and Sam, I'm going to ask you the same thing. What do you want them to get out of this? Okay, are we looking for solutions? Are we looking for just networking? What are we looking for, the challenges as opposed to solving them? What do we want to get out of this, the Urban Superintendents Academy?
Well, I'll jump in there.
It's yours.
I'll
give Sam a little bit of time to think about it. I'll go with you on this one, Marie.
I think that our greatest goal is the outcome is to have leaders who can step into the position of superintendent, and if they're already a superintendent, to enhance their skills so they can work with the school board that's in their community and work with the teachers and the other professional staff and their communities to really have a clear vision about excellence for all students and to be committed to equity. So that includes how you distribute opportunity and resources in your system, because we know that equity is not about having the same for everyone, right? It's about lifting up those who need to be lifted up. I think the fact is that we hope to give them the tools, the experiences, the opportunities to be in discussions together so that when they leave the academy, they will be prepared to make an impact as leaders. And so that would be my initial thoughts.
Make an impact. I love that. Okay, Sam, what are your thoughts on
this?
What do you want them to walk away with? Yeah.
I agree. We're wanting to prepare leaders in a way that they're ensuring that they can change the outcomes for children. You know, we talked about urban. We talked about all of these indicators that come into play. We mentioned the divide. We mentioned the disparities in learning across racial groups or socioeconomic groups of students as well. And so the language of what has been around closing achievement gaps, we really want to eliminate those gaps. We want the leaders that are dealing effectively with and creatively with their community and, you know, the community relations and the politics that come into play. Maria mentioned the board. You know, at the same time that you are out there as leaders, as courageous leaders, taking on this challenge that we just mentioned with closing the eliminating the gaps, you have to have a board that is governing in a way that creates the conditions for that leader to be successful. So another piece we're wanting to ensure that these leaders have will be the savvy that is going to be required to work with and many times an elected school board that really represents policymakers in this work. So you've got to be able to facilitate the development of policy that would create the conditions to be successful with having children graduate from high school and move on to college successfully, move on to the world of work successfully, move on in a successful way and have a quality life. You know, that's a tall order, and that's what we want to be able to do.
That's a tall order, but like the old saying goes, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one small step. Okay, and I'm glad you brought that up, Sam, because there is, if I may, and not just because it's a presidential year, there is the politics of the situation. And that, to me, is one of the important things that we can give to any superintendent or district leader is the how to deal with your community's politics, okay, when you were trying to get these things done and how to make it happen. What AASA does is wonderful. Okay, and the Urban Superintendents Academy is just another piece of the work that they do. And Maria and Sam, I got to tell you, you guys do great work, and I'm just so pleased that you came on here today. Sam, thank you so much. And Maria, put away the coffee and go back to sleep. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, it's early out there, so we love you dearly for coming on. Have a great time this, even though it's virtual, have a great time networking and seeing everybody and getting all these points across. Sam King and Maria Ott, can't thank you enough. Have a wonderful week. And please, both of you, stay safe. Can't emphasize that enough. Thank you both.
Thank you, Larry. We're honored.
My pleasure. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you, Maria. Okay. Maria Ott is a professor of clinical education at USC, University of Southern California, Rossier School of Education, and very involved with AASA and the Urban Superintendents Academy. And wonderful to have Sam King here, who's the director of superintendent searches, him being a former superintendent himself. This is cool. At the Georgia State School Boards Association. I love that. Okay. Wow. School boards are school boards. You take the politics, you put it with policy, you make it work. Okay? That's simple. Well, How simple to say it, not easy to do. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio or LinkedIn is under Larry Jacobs. Okay, if you want to go over there, Facebook is under Education Talk Radio and Larry Jacobs. And please go over and join our consortium. It's free to educators thanks to the industry support we get. Okay, it's your voice heard, okay, for equity in education. We invite you to join at ace-ed.org and enjoy our magazine, our online journal right over there. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.